Good morning, everybody. Did I play that off well? Oh my goodness, forgot to turn the button on. Sorry about that. Well, I'm really excited that we get to spend this time together today. Really excited to be able to share with you. I want to say welcome to those who are viewing online. Glad that you're with us as well. And, in this Joy to the World series that we're in, and it's just appropriate today with everything that we have going on, to have the opportunity to talk about generosity. And so today I'm talking about the beauty of generosity. It was great at the end of first service to be able to pack these boxes that are over there ready to go to give to families in our community. And we'll get to do it again after this service. So we hope you join us for that. But it's truly a great time. One of the things when I talk about the beauty of generosity is we serve a God who has been so generous to us, who have expressed love and kindness and given us his son and all of those things, which I'll get into again. But it's amazing to see the love of God and his generosity poured out to us. And I found that generosity is an amazing tool that the Lord not only has expressed to us, but given us to use as well and the things that come along with that. This week, we had an opportunity to have a garage sale at our home. And how many guys love garage sales? Call them when you want to do one. There you go. We had a cool opportunity, and so you get people driving by. And as I've been thinking about generosity, I had a situation happen. And it was just kind of cool. I want to share it with you. So my wife and I were standing out in the driveway, and we were, saying hi to people as they came and looked at stuff. And there's this one family in particular that came. And in the midst of them looking around and looking at stuff, their daughter had gone over and picked up this book. She went right to the books, and she was looking through the books, and she found this book that she really liked. And so she kind of carted it around with her and was looking at it and showed it to her brother and just spending time with this book, really liked it. And so as the parents went around looking at things, it was time for them to go. And the little daughter had the book, and Michelle leaned over to me, and she said, "I got to give that little girl that book." And I said, "Okay." And so they left, and so the little girl, she went and put the book down, and it was kind of one of these things. She's looking back at it. "Come on, book," So it was cool because it had already dropped in Michelle's heart to bless her with it. And so as they were on their way down the driveway, Michelle called out to the little girl and said, "Come here." And so she kind of looked, and Michelle grabbed the book. And so she ran over, and she said, "This is for you. I want to give this to you." And so the little girl said, "Thank you." And, she started to run, and so she's running back to her parents as the dad looks around. He's like, "Where's my daughter?" And sees her come with the book. He's like, no, we didn't buy the book. You got to give it back." And Michelle said, no, it's hers. I gave it to her. She can have it. And so the dad said, "Say thank you," and she had already said thank you. And so we watched him go over to the car, and bright, she's skipping, she's excited, she's got this book, and she gets into the car, and as they're all getting in, I notice that she jumps back out of the car and looks over at us because we're watching, and she goes, and then they get in the car and drive off. And, it just reminded me of how powerful generosity really is. In the simplest little thing, the opportunity to just extend something to somebody and say, "Here you go." Nothing big. It wasn't like the most expensive thing there. But the fact is that the Lord dropped that in Michelle's spirit. And she saw opportunity for her to respond in generosity as God has been so generous to her and hand that off and to see light go on and smile and run into the car and just very excited. So I think it's pretty awesome for us that we get to do things like that. We're offered to do those on a daily basis. In James 1, chapter 5, it says this about God. It says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you." I love this passage for so many reasons, but one of the things that I think is great is it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. And the next part you could leave out, and it could say, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, and it will be given to you. And that is a true statement. But, true statement. You got that? So you should ask God, but it doesn't stop there. It wants to express who God is a little bit more. So it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. What kind of God are we asking? One who gives generously to all without finding fault. Isn't that amazing? So
Because I think a lot of times fault or falling short of something, it brings us to this place where we feel like we can't receive or the Lord can't do something like that. But honestly, he's the God who is generously, and he's generously to who? All. And who are we? So he's generous to every single one of us without finding fault. When you ask the Lord for something, he doesn't go, well, let me think about it. Open the book of what Tom's done. Oh, no, Mr., you know. He's generous. He leans into generosity. He already wants to do it because he doesn't give it according to what you've done or haven't done. He gives generously to all without finding fault. And so just as a foundation, we serve an amazing, generous God. He gave his son, his one and only. It's not like he had 50,000 sons and he goes, okay, I'll give one for you. He gave his one and only son and he gave his Holy Spirit. He sent his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And he loves to speak and to relate to us. And he gives us everything that we need. And day after day, we're met with his love, his unconditional love, and the amazingness of his generosity. And that's the foundation in which we come from. It's God who is generous. The second thing I realize is generosity makes an impact. There is an impact that happens when we choose to be generous. And there's an impact when God is generous to us, and we recognize that. And usually it's praise. We just go, oh my gosh, how good are you, God? But generosity carries with it an impact. Listen to this passage, 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So one of the first things we have to deal with is this command those who are rich. A lot of times when we talk about people who are rich, we think of someone else. Oh, it's them, it's him, it's her, it's those people. We disclude ourselves from it because a lot of times we measure richness, I think, on the wrong meter, if you will. But I was looking at research that was done and studying the whole world, and where does wealth and poor really land? And I just want to share with you what they found about the U.S. So when it comes to rich, they had it listed from extremely poor all the way to extremely wealthy, and then everything in between. And what they said is that 80% of people in the United States, or 80% of the people of the world, in the United States, end up being wealthy and extremely wealthy compared to the world. And when we're looking at the rest of the world, 80% of the most poor and not doing well are outside of the U.S. And if you brought those standards in just a little, popcorn will be done in a minute. If you brought those, it's almost done. Thank you. Sorry, popcorn machine is not happening. All right. So 80%. So if you brought those two things in just a little bit, meaning that you went to a place where you said, okay, instead of just poor and really poor, what if we went up a little bit, just barely making it? And instead of wealthy and somewhat wealthy, what if we came down a little bit and saying making it most, you know, on the upper side of things? Then you're talking 100%. So where we live in the United States is we are on the very top side of wealth. So when he says, command those who are rich in this present age, who's he talking to? He's talking to us. And the amazing thing is he says, command them this, not to be arrogant, not to put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put your hope in God. Why? Because he's the one who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And then command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Our generosity leads us to lay up treasures so that we take hold of the life that is truly life. Generosity has an impact. Listen to this one in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 11. Now he who supplied seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving. This passage, I love all of the words used in this. He who supplies, so you know you're going to be supplied for. The supply is going to increase, so more than you expected. He's going to enlarge the harvest of your righteousness, enriched in every way, to be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving. Generosity has an impact because we'll be blessed in abundance, and as a result, it's going to turn to thanksgiving to God. There's a story of Paul in Acts 28 on his travels, and he was, in verse 28, verse 7, there was an estate nearby that belonged to the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick and in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this happened, the rest of the sick on the island came, and they were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when they were ready to set sail, they furnished with the supplies that we needed. See, when we respond in a generous way, it makes an impact. Something shifts, something changes. When Michelle decided to give that little girl a book, simple little book, I don't know what happened when they drove away. I don't know what it was like when she looked at the book for the first time and all of those things or looked at it. But something happens. There's an impact that takes place, both when God is generous to us and when we choose to be generous as a result. One of the things I've learned is that God notices generosity. There's two stories in the Bible, just quickly. There's one about Tabitha, who was called a disciple, and she was known to be a person that, let me read this to you. It says that she was always doing good and helping the poor. That was the definition of Tabitha, always doing good and helping the poor. And at a time she became sick and died, they washed and prepared her for burial. And then Peter came and he prayed over her and she became well. And he told her to get up and she opened her eyes. There's another story of Cornelius. Well, let me jump back for a minute. So here's a woman who's acting in generosity. She dies and then she gets raised from the dead. Cornelius is another one, and this one blows me away. Because Cornelius, it goes down as he's a guy that's known for this. He's devout, God-fearing, and he gave generously to those in need and prayed. So he was known as a guy who gave generously. So an angel of the Lord appears, and he's really startled, and what's going on? And it says, the angel says, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. God notices generosity. This whole thing is crazy because here's Cornelius, and he's known for someone who gives generously to the poor. And so God sets it up where he sends an angel to Cornelius and says, this is why I'm here, because that all went up to the Lord as a memorial offering. Now go send somebody to get Peter because I have something for Peter to share with you. And if you know the story, Peter's on his roof praying and he sees a vision of things coming down. He's trying to figure out, and the guys show up, knock on the door and say, Peter, you must come. So Peter goes with him, goes back to Cornelius, and to wrap this up, what ends up happening is Peter now shares the good news of the gospel of Jesus, and Cornelius and his whole family get saved. But they're Gentiles. So now when they go back, they go, hey, this must be for the Gentiles as well, because they were filled with the Spirit, and they received the same thing we received. So it's amazing to me that God uses a generous man to be the one that he brings the good news of the gospel of grace to the Gentiles. And aren't you glad? I know I am. So he takes, notices the generosity and goes, you know what? I'm going to use Cornelius to usher in the fact that this is for Gentiles as well, not just for the Jews. So the last thing we're going to focus on is generosity. It's kind of my favorite part, brings transformation. Generosity brings transformation. And I'm going to read out of Luke 19, and then we'll talk about this story of Zacchaeus. So in the city of Jericho, there lived a very wealthy man named Zacchaeus, who was the supervisor over all the tax collectors. And Jesus made his way through the city. Zacchaeus was eager to see Jesus. He kept trying to get a look at him, but the crowd around Jesus was massive. And Zacchaeus was a very short man and couldn't see over the heads of the people. So he ran ahead of every one of them and climbed up a blossoming fig tree so he could get a glimpse of Jesus as he passed by. When Jesus got to that place, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, hurry on down, for I am appointed to stay at your house today. So he scurried down the tree and came face to face with Jesus. As Jesus left to go with Zacchaeus, many in the crowd complained, look at this. Of all the people to have dinner with, he's going to eat in the house of a crook. Zacchaeus joyously welcomed Jesus and was amazed over his gracious visit to his home. Zacchaeus stood in front of the Lord and said, half of all that I own, I will give to the poor. What kind of man was he? Very wealthy man. Half of what I own, I give to the poor. And Lord, if I've cheated anyone, I promise to pay back four times as much as I stole. Jesus said to him, this shows that today life has come to you and your household. For you are a true son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek out and to give life to those who are lost. It's amazing to me that what ends up happening is Zacchaeus, wanting to catch a glimpse of the Lord, climbs up a tree so that he could see him, and the Lord sees him. And he responds with generosity. He goes, I need to come and stay with you. So Zacchaeus gets down. He's excited. He goes and takes Jesus to his house. And amidst all of that, people are going, oh, great. Now look who he goes and eats with, a crook. He's a tax collector, and he's the guy that oversees all the tax collectors. The chances of him being a crook are probably pretty high. It says that he's a very wealthy man. So the outlook of people on Zacchaeus wasn't very good. Yet Jesus, it said he was appointed. He says, I need to go to your house. And he goes. And with them spending time together, his response comes down to where he says, Zacchaeus stood in front of the Lord and said, half of what I own, I'm going to give to the poor. See, generosity is transforming. It brings transformation. We're a church that we build churches that transform lives by experiencing grace and the Holy Spirit. We want to see people's lives transformed. And I've learned that generosity is one of those vehicles that God uses to usher in that transformation. And with Zacchaeus, we see it clearly. Jesus extends to him, and then Zacchaeus says, man, I want half of what I own to go to the poor, which I think is a huge expression of generosity. And then he goes, and to clean up the cheating thing, if I've cheated anyone, four times what I stole. That's amazing to me, because we see a transformation. It's the same thing that we get to experience. See, when God showed generosity to me when I was a 17-year-old kid working at a magic shop, and a guy kept coming in day after day after day and visiting me and taking me to lunch and investing in me. He kept coming to see me, kept saying, hey, can we grab lunch? Can we do this? He'd invite me into things. He's being extremely generous. Then it came a point in my life where I knew something had to change, and I knew someone had a message of love, because that's what he's expressing to me. So when I showed up at 11 o'clock at night and I banged down his door and he came out in his pajamas and I said, I need to know about this Jesus. He didn't say, hey man, it's after 11, I'm in my pajamas, could you come back tomorrow? No, because he's generous. And the Lord's using him to show me that generosity. He invites me in, we sit on the couch, and I give my life to Jesus. Generosity brings transformation. You know, as we're approaching the holiday season, one of the things that Michelle and I have always tried to do was to teach our kids it's better to give than to receive. And what I've learned is that when it comes to the giving part of it, you actually get to see the whole thing transpire. We got to see the little girl carry around the book all over the garage sale. We got to see her set it down and leave looking back. And she had no idea we knew what was about to happen. Then we got to bless her with it, and then she got to run out to the car, and then she peeked out and waved. We got to witness that whole thing transpire. Better to give than to receive. So early on, we wanted to teach our kids this principle and say, man, giving is where it's at. This is, you know, so it wasn't a my fest around Christmas. And so one of the things we decided to do is we just taught our kids, hey, we're only going to do one gift. The whole family picks one gift for each person. So for an example, we'd all sit around and we go, okay, it's Katie's turn. Let's send Katie out of the room. And then we go, okay, guys, what do you want to get her? And so we talk and they'd share and people get excited. Oh, I want to give her this. And oh, I saw this. And usually someone goes, oh, no, this is what she wants. We go, okay, everyone good? That's what we're going to, who wants to get it for? I'll get it. So then the person grabs. So we did that for the whole family. And then come Christmas time when we open gifts, we all sat around and the kids were antsy. Hey, can I go first? No, I wanna go first. They can't wait to see the expression on their brother or sister's face because of the generosity that's being expressed. And so as a result, even this week, one of the kids was like, oh my gosh, this thing that's on sale, you know, I got to get this because so-and-so wants it. I'm being careful because this is on video. So-and-so wants it. They want it really bad. It's like half off. And then we got there and it was even more than that off. And now the whole thing is, I can't wait to give this to them. They're going to be so surprised and shocked, so excited because it's better to give than to receive. So what I've learned is this. This is going to, my little graph thing is going to come up on the screen. So this is what I've learned. The first thing that happened is God is generous. He expresses some form of generosity. It happens every day. It could in whatever form, and it continually happens. But God is generous, and then as a result, we experience transformation. God does something, responds, reaches out, helps, answers a prayer, heals, and whatever aspect it is, and you see God being generous. And for us, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's that good. This is amazing. And so we go through a place of transformation. And then as we go through the transformation, it brings us to extend generosity to others. So because of what Jesus did for me, I can't wait to, you fill in the blank. Things that have happened in my life through prayer and asking the Lord or just his kindness without even me asking, I go, oh my gosh. And when I hear something similar to that, I'm like, God, let's do this. How do we do this? You get excited because what I experienced and what I went through, now I want somebody else to experience and go through. So then they do. We extend generosity to someone else. And then as a result, they move around and which reveals that God is generous. So when we do this and it's just natural to anybody, this is what happens. God's generous. We experience transformation. So we extend generosity, which they go, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then they understand that God is generous. See, generosity can express itself in the smallest way of a little book or in some great way. But the cool thing is, as we are rich in this present world, we get to go before the Lord. He gives hints. He shows us. Something pops in front of us. We get to partner with him to be generous. And don't allow the enemy to try to put some kind of weight on whether that's actually generosity or not, or if that's actually powerful or not, or if it's this. I'm telling you, I really believe that little girl's life in that moment was transformed because we gave her a book. I don't know what the Lord's got next for her, but there's just something that transpired, something that happened there. So I kind of want to wrap up everything with this today. This season, we have an opportunity, not just to express generosity in the season, but to have a shift in our lens, if you will, and express generosity starting now. Not just now in the season, but starting now and moving forward. Because what happens if people start doing this? What happens if, because of the transformation you've experienced, because of the blessing of God in your life, no matter how big, whatever it is, we started being generous to other people? Because sometimes generosity could be holding a door for somebody. I find it so funny that so many times I'll do something and then the person does it right back to somebody else. I shared this in first service. You know, you're driving traffic in Atlanta, busy, you're trying to get somewhere, long line waiting to turn right or left. And there's that one poor guy that's waiting to get in. You're like, you're going to be there till June, right? Because everyone gets as close as they can to the next car. So then you go, you know what? I'll let him in. So you open and they're like, thank you, you know. And they pull in front. And then the next little street you come to where somebody in the same place, guess who lets him in? That person, right? So when you're 20 cars back praising God for all these people who are being generous, just remember that, right? No, but seriously, you open for somebody and they're like, wow, that was so helpful. I wasn't getting out. And they go, thank you. And then they get up to the next one and there's someone and they go, hey, that's me. And they stop and let the next person in. See, because generosity is contagious. That's what happens. One person says, I'm going to step out and do this. And it reminds everybody that's what we're supposed to be about. That's what lives in us. That's the God that we serve. He's a generous God. And so I want us to have a little lens shift from now on to consider those around us in every capacity. And the cool thing about generosity, it doesn't have to just be financially. It could be with words. It could be something you share. It could be something you do for somebody. Generosity is generosity. It's an expression from one to another. And when you do that, it's transformational. Even the smallest thing it can. What happens if we do that in our city? It grows to our state and it goes beyond there. What would happen if a group of people said, man, I'm going to go out of my way to be generous to others? We're most like Jesus when we're generous to other people. That's just the truth. Amen? Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to not only receive how generous you are to us and know that we are completely loved and how gracious you have been to us, but Lord, for us also to be in a place where you would love to partner with us so that we could be generous to others. And so, Lord, I thank you in advance for the opportunities that are before us today and in the week to come. I thank you for the people that you'll put in our path. I thank you for even today in packing and then next week where we get to hand these boxes to other people. Lord, I pray that they'd be overwhelmed with how generous you are and using your people to do so. And so, Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for the opportunities and the appointments that you're going to put before us so that we can share your generosity with others. We bless you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.